DW Africa Link.
Men have become a problem in this society. One, you go to church, you get married, only to find the man had gotten married to another woman 10 years ago.
Unfortunately, I haven't yet reached that stage of divorce, and I also don't hope to reach that stage, but I have friends who have experienced it.
They say marriage is forever, but in Uganda, forever is getting shorter. Now here's the shocker. According to recent court figures, 80% of divorce petitions now come from women. This trend should concern all of us, as it reflects deeper social issues affecting families and communities. So what's driving the rise in divorces? Who is most affected? And what actually helps couples heal? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Home should be a place of comfort, not conflict. Yet in Uganda, more marriages are ending in court. By the end of September 2025, more than 1,300 divorce cases had been registered at the Family Division of the High Court. Data indicated that women filed close to 80% of these petitions. Now, behind these numbers are stories of violence, infidelity, abandonment, and financial battles. Recognizing these causes can help us work together towards solutions that restore hope and stability in families. And here is the decisive shift. Women may now have the means and confidence to walk away from toxic relationships. Let's talk more about this with Immaculate Bazare, social justice lawyer and health rights advocate. I also have DW correspondent Frank Giga in Kampala. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. Let me ask you an immaculate question, pun intended. So, Immaculate, we know 80% of divorces are filed by women in Uganda. Is this a sign that marriage institutions are failing women? What do you think?
I wouldn't say that it is an indication that marriage is failing women. It's an indication that marriage is failing both parties, whether a man or a woman. And it means that there is still a lot of things to be done in terms of how do we prepare both parties to the marriage, that is a man and a woman, when they are starting their marriages. There is still a lot of things to be done from the time when they declare their intentions to be staying together as husband and wife. And that means that the role of counselors right from the family setting, the parents, the clan leaders in our African culture settings could have probably not done what is supposed to be done. The role we centered our culture values, our marriage values, into the place of elders, where elders are able to guide the young people who intend to go into a marriage relationship. But this, as we move along, we see it is being driven away by so many factors that the world is shaping us into a place where we have to think for ourselves because we've turned 18. We've left behind the role of our elders, the role of culture, the role of church, the role of our parents, mothers and fathers. And probably that's where we need to go back and center the conversation. What should be done? Why should women be filing for divorce against their other partners?
So based on your knowledge on this matter, what really is driving this high rate of divorces, especially being led by women?
What we see right from the community and to the families and to the court level is that the biggest concern that people are raising is the balancing of power, which comes from different angles. Balancing of power is in a marriage relationship. How do we relate? How do we relate in terms of finances? How do we relate in terms of communication? How do we relate in terms of making decisions for the home? How do we relate in ensuring that we keep our relationship safe when there is no infidelity, when there is no control, and when there is someone not making a decision over the other person. So the issue that communication is not being very open, the issue that financial resources are not shared in an open manner, the issue that you find one party is having multiple relationships, that is what is bringing women to a question of, is this marriage worth it, or I need to step aside for the sake of my mental health, for the sake of my health, for the sake of my children. So for me, I center the arching issues of finance, communication, infidelity, to the issue of power and control. Who has power in this relationship? Who is controlling the relationship? How are the communication channels centered? How are the decisions made? So once that is not on a balanced table, then we find the one of the parties in the relationship, in most often by being a woman, is pushed to the edge of saying, no, let me run to the court that has the power to make a decision of whether I should stay in this marriage or not. So for me, I center that at that.
What has changed from decades ago? Because again, we're saying that this is an increase, right? From before. What was marriage like from before? What has changed now that is making things that different and driving divorce cases?
So what has changed, in my opinion, is the way it is at two levels. The way we view relationship when we are going into this relationship of marriage. What are the expectations of the parties? Way back, we expected that, you know, a man is supposed to head the family, and heading the family means that you take on the majority of the responsibilities. And by then, I think if we look at how our ancestors or our parents and our grandparents used to lead their marriages, is indeed the man would shoulder the responsibilities of taking care of the family, making sure there is food at home, making sure that the when the children are sick, they are taken to hospital, making sure that school fees is available. And the woman would ensure that, you know, that there is a whole supporting environment for this man to be able to provide what is supposed to provide. That is ensuring that the home is kept clean, the ensuring that the children are well fed. Once the food is there, the food is cooked. With the evolving architecture of the world we are living in, where you will not have one party, whether a woman, to keep home and just take care of a home, and another party who is usually a man going to work, that has changed. Both husband and wife have to wake up and go and work. And the expectation is now that you all contribute equally. So when that is not happening, then it means there is some disagreement that if I come, and we've had and I've seen this on social media and in the couples that I talk to, where you find that one of the partner, whether a woman or a man, goes to work and then comes and is expecting that I will sit and my wife is going to go cook, serve me, make sure the children are taken to bed, make sure that the home is clean, yet you've all entered the house at the same time. And that creates tension. Or in other old cases that we see is that whoever has more resources in the home is considering the other party to be at a lower place. You're not equal. And that brings an issue of disrespecting one another, an issue of saying that, but I'm the one with the money, so I make all the decisions. And that is what is changing rapidly. Whereas in the previous years of our parents and our grandparents, is that people would sit on one table. We used to have what we call the fireplace, where both mother, father, and children would sit and have a candid conversation on how the family is, check in with the wife, checking with the children how your day was. But that is not there. What is now available is everyone enters the house and we all go on our gadgets, either a phone or a laptop or something, and there is no space for communication. And for me, in my opinion, that is driving us to running to court. And in most cases, even when women run to court, when you check, there has been a long period of not communication in the family. My opinion is centered at that.
Wow. That was some education. Thank you very much for that. It makes things much clearer in my head, as I'm sure it does to Frank too. Frank, you're learning a lot from this discussion, and you've also been speaking to people in different communities about the increasing number of divorce cases, especially spearheaded by women in Uganda. What are you hearing from people you're talking to?
Well, I hear a lot from the people I talk to. And when they say that 80% of divorces are filed by women, what rings in my mind, what about the unreported cases? There is a thin line between separation and divorce. And to me, without going into divorce, within my circles, I see so many couples that have separated, which is closer to divorce. It's just a legal aspect that awaits, to confirm their separation. But they're separated. They're doing different ways, different things. Either the man is staying in another home, or a woman moved away to another home, or they're staying under the same roof, but they're totally different people. So that is more of divorce. So it tells how dire the situation is. And of course, there are factors leading to this, if I could tell you some of them, and some, a combination of others. We're talking of money, we're talking of cultural issues. The cultural issues, not so much though, but still they also come in the way that some couples are not prepared into marriage, or even some are forced into marriage, not necessarily forcing, but they are influenced to marry earlier than the time they are supposed to. When the family sees the rest of the girls married off, or the boys, and one is pending, they'll have to force somehow influence one to as well get married. And in the end, it will lead to separation or divorce. So cultural issues play a very big role in this, where just like Immaculate said, that the preparations we had back then, when our grannies, our aunties, paternal uncles used to counsel and prepare these young people before going for marriage, is no more. Or at times they do it just to please the society and community, or other family, that yes, my children are married off, yet they don't know what they are going for. Violence is also another aspect that leads to this. And what comes to what brings about violence, like I said, a combination of factors could be the element of money. I have a friend who just separated. She's filing for divorce from her partner. Why? It's because she sponsored or funded their marriage, and she's realizing that the husband is not supporting, and he's not even attempting to get a job, to support her or support the family. So she's basing on those grounds, and she says that in between there, violence also comes in, because they don't connect anymore. They have verbal fights, at times physical fights. It's because of a lack of money in their relationship or home. So we can see some combination of factors. Another case I have is a friend of mine also migrated to the foreign lands for greener pastures. She was married, but because she felt that the man wasn't providing enough, so she decided to go overseas to fend for her family. So the distance that they have, based on what they left at home, definitely tells that their marriage has cracks and be on the verge of divorce.
Thank you very much, Frank. It sounds like, Frank, you have a lot of friends that are having marital issues. I don't know if that's a good thing or that's something you can learn from to, work on yours. But look, I'm going to come back to you, Immaculate. It's really, as we are saying, it's so many different factors. And you've mentioned some of them. Frank has just shared what he's gathered from speaking to his friends and people around as a reporter on the ground. But one of the key things is definitely what Frank mentioned about violence against women in marriages. How has that contributed to the surging number of divorce cases?
So picking from that is that one, culture has been commercialized. And when I say that culture has been commercialized and we've forgotten our Afrocentric way of living, which we call the Ubuntu, the togetherness is no more. It's because right from when we are sending away our girls to go into this marriage, the culture is demanding for so much that from a man. So a man is expected now to carry so many things. In my culture, previously you'd bring one cow, but now you're expected to bring more than 10 to 20 to 50 to 100 cows for this parent to hand over the girl. And when that is marriage is started on such a footing of commercialization, then when you enter this marriage with very high expectations, and we've had cases where they say, but I paid my culture. I mean, I paid my bride price. And that already starts the marriage at a wrong footing. Whereas we've seen, for example, in Uganda, where courts have gone ahead and actually said that paying of bride price is not considered as buying a woman, but rather an appreciation to the parents. Still, these appreciations are put at such a high value for a man to go into this marriage or to be able to take the girl. So that is one place that we need to address. How do we change our Ubuntu back to the Afrocentrism principles of togetherness and being happy together?
Frank, let me come to you. So I want us to talk about the support services that are available for women in marriages that are just abusive to them or that is not benefiting them in any way. Tell us more about that in Uganda and the government's role in all of this.
We have different institutions, and within those institutions, we have units. For instance, the Uganda Police. Uganda Police has a unit called Family Children, is Child and Family Protection Unit. So in all this conversation, I know there's no picture of a child or children. When they say when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. So it is the children that are disadvantaged more in these broken relationships or marriages. So we have this unit in the police force that ensures that at least they try to put them together before they finally conclude their divorce or separation. Because I've met some of the officers and they say, they invite all parties, both parties, the woman, the husband, and the wife. And it takes, you know, much time, not just a week session or 2 week session. They give them a whole program that can stretch up to 3 months, counseling them, putting them together. And we should look at both parties. The woman may sound aggrieved, but the men as well have their side of the story. Culturally, we men don't report. We sit on our issues and die with them. But we are also aggrieved in one or the other. So these units in the police try to, put us together, counsel us, see how we can, come to a common ground and, for the sake of the children, even ourselves, have, the family put together. Besides the police, we also have a church. Imakli talked about the input of the church. The church also has they have committees for the marriage, for the married couples, where, they bring them together, counsel them, talk to them, and then they say that what God puts together, no man should asunder, something in line with that. So they try so hard to say that unless it is beyond reconciliation, that's when they can divorce. But they try hard to see that at least they put these parties together. We also have other private entities like NGOs that have mobile clinics that offer free legal services to such situations, so that they ensure that that families don't divorce, they don't break up, they live harmoniously, because a solidified family tantamounts to a solidified community.
Right. Well said, Frank. I mean, it's all hands on deck in a way. I'm going to give you this question to end this, and it may be a bit of a surprising question to you, but I know we've spent all this time talking about the challenges of marriage and how to make it better. What's the big deal if marriages don't work out and divorces are on the rise? Why should we care much?
Yes, we should care. because family grounds us. It's family that sets the grounding of our culture, of our beliefs, of our social norms, and of our belonging. We belong because family exists. So if the families break, then we lose the sense of belonging. And I started from the point of Afrocentric, of Ubuntu and togetherness. So we need to care that we protect that togetherness and the belongingness that we have held for over years in our different perspective. And caring takes the intersectional approach of everyone should be taking a responsibility, from our cultural leaders to our religious leaders to the courts. I think one of the things we've not talked about is Uganda right now is fighting over a bill, what we call the marriage bill in parliament, which is actually saying that if a woman has been in a cohabiting relationship, should then be criminalized and sent to prison. But we know almost 70% of our women are living in relationship, what we are calling marriage in quotes and quotes, because for an ordinary woman, they don't know the difference between what is marriage and what is not. Whereas the law books are saying marriage should be either you've gone to church, customary married, or you've gone to the mosque or any other. But we know most women in Uganda, and I want to believe in Africa as a whole, are living in relationships which are not categorized as marriage as power books. So for us to care is to protect all relationships where people are living together and they've had children and they are living in the context of being together as man and woman and children and the whole other family that comes with.
Interesting points that I've heard today. I've learned a lot on how to sustain one's marriage or relationship. So thank you very much for that. Immaculate Bazare, social justice lawyer and health rights advocate. Also DW correspondent Frank Yiga in Kampala. Thank you both.
Thank you, Eddie, for hosting us for this interesting conversation. And I look forward to having another conversation where you can interrogate more on what the laws are saying versus the culture, beliefs and norms.
Right. Now, more points for further podcast discussions. Thank you very much for that.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Men have become a problem in this society. One, you go to church, you get married, only to find the man had gotten married to another woman 10 years ago. You are there in your marriage enjoying the man has 4 children, 5 outside marriage. And then that man will expect you to take care of those children. Am I the one who fathered them? I am not the one who fathered those children. When you refuse, the man becomes annoyed. He starts beating you. There's a lot of violence these days. For you to stay in a marriage with the beating and abuses, you rather file for divorce. Because these men are a problem.
Divorce cases are high lately. First of all, in the old tradition, the ATS, people used to do the real courtship. Parents would know the family and all that. But lately, we find ourselves in bars and what, and we like the outer beauty, and we don't really look into the inner beauty. So in the moment we get into each other, we are not compatible.
Many women are quick at rushing for divorce to share wealth. That may be one of the reasons. The other reason is the issue of women emancipation. Women think that they can as well make it like men. They think they can no longer bow down to men, operate under men control. So when this dispute emerge between the two couples, one take advantage of the aspect of women emancipation.
Unfortunately, I haven't yet reached that stage of divorce, and I also don't hope to reach that stage, but I have friends who have experienced it because of abuse, physical abuse, cheating, being beaten, tortured, some financial reasons, since they are financially independent and they are aware of their rights as well, and they don't feel the need to stay in those relationships where their expectations are high and they expect more from those relationships and resort to that divorce, seeking for mental well-being and their own stability as females or women.
Those were voices from Uganda as people addressed the growing divorce cases in the country. Now, across the continent, divorce is on the rise, so it's not just unique to Uganda. The high rate, especially the 80% in Uganda's case, highlights the need for open public dialogue on marriage and gender issues. Experts say countries need stronger marriage and divorce laws to protect consent, expand legal aid, and fast-track family courts to cut costs and trauma. Promoting premarital and marital counseling in faith and community spaces, along with increasing public education on rights, gender-based violence, and healthy relationships, is essential to prevent crisis. What do you think? Share your thoughts on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for mind.